It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins with us in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, today I think we're going to talk about kind of a hybrid in the way in which people can acquire title to property, real property that is, meaning land, or how they might be able to settle certain property line disputes, things of that nature. And all of this falls under the category, if you will, of adverse possession. It's a very interesting area of the law. It's an area of the law that I don't think there's a lot of conversation about, particularly. Most of us know that we get acquire our title through a deed. We acquire our title through a last will and testament when mom or dad or grandmama or granddad die and leave us their property. There usually is a description of the property that is accurate. There might be some minor discrepancy in the description, but nothing that is of such materialness so as to affect really what we believe to be our land. And we occupy our land according to those deeds and or last wills and testament, things of that nature. But every now and then, there is an issue relative to possessory rights on land. And so let's kind of dissect that today and talk about adverse possession issues.
Okay. Adverse possession, I think, has a long history. I mean, it goes back in European law.
Squatter's rights.
Yeah, squatter's rights, all kinds of things.
Basically, what we're talking about here, in the event that you use your property or use property that's not yours in a way that appears to be yours for a certain amount of time, then it can ripen into actual ownership. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, and you learn this in law school,
right?
High ocean is what you call it.
Oh, really?
High ocean. That's what you remember on the exam. Hostile, intentional, open, continuous, exclusive, adverse, and notorious. So you've got to meet all of those elements.
Yeah.
And what does that all mean? Well, it basically means that you are using this property openly, meaning if someone else who didn't know the difference was looking, they would say, well, that property must be owned by that guy.
Right.
He's got a fence around it.
Right.
He cuts the grass every week.
His car is parked
he
there.
Maintains the property. His car is parked there. He may have built an outbuilding on it, a shed or whatever it may be. So,
so he's not hiding it.
That's right. Open, continuous. It has to, it can't have a break in time. We'll talk about the time period in a minute, but really what we'll talk about now is really 20 years.
Right.
If you don't have color of title, and it's 7 years in the event that you do. In the 7 year period of time, basically attaches to a situation where maybe you're under a mistake because your deed says you own the property, but you didn't know that there was a senior deed that someone else had that is superior in title. So you've been using it as your own, as in good faith, thinking it was yours.
Right.
But the time period is then shortened from 20 to 7.
Because there is a purported document whereby you have taken title to the property.
Right.
It has to be in good faith, though. You can't do deed to yourself just to try to create a shorter statute of limitations.
Right.
But if there is, a conveyance, then there is assumed to be title. And of course, then, interestingly, the word color of title. Yes, there's some color to it. There's some gray zone. And so, therefore, the statute changes from the longer statute to 7 years as a result of the fact that you do, in fact, have some sort of good faith document that gave you or you thought gave you title to that property.
But even absent of that, that's where you get the other part,
the
20
statute.
Years.
20-year period of time.
20 years.
Right. So, we're looking at how the person's used the property. We're looking at how they've improved the property. We're looking at things like, did they pay taxes on the property? But that alone probably doesn't get you there. We get that question a lot. I've been paying taxes on this property forever. Well, it's a wooded area.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you've been using it, so we're not going to be able to prove adverse possession in most cases. So if you've been using that period of time for or that property for that period of time consecutively, continuously, openly, notoriously, then that use can ripen into title. Now, you can tack as well. And what that means is that let's say you've used this property as your own for 10 years, but your predecessor, maybe the person who owned the house next door that you bought, or the house that you did buy next door to the property, also used it for 10 consecutive years, where you can tack on that person's use. It doesn't have to be just your individual use.
Let me give you an example.
Sure.
A possibility here now. Just say that I'd been in my house for 10 years and that, Cecil knows where I live and the back of that property is not developed. But if there had been a gazebo that was built on the back of that property by a previous owner, and they had used it and then I've used it for another 10 years, I can tack on that 10 years.
That's correct. Yes. If you've been using it for that period of time. And then we, of course, get to the issue of...
I wish I'd thought of that. I've been in the house 30 years now.
Start today. So, you know, some of the things that we look at as well, you know, you really get into what evidence do you have to show that you have actually been using this property as your own, as your own. You know, we ask for photographs, of course. You know, have there been family picnics or have there been, you know, whatever activity there on the property to show that you've been using it as your own. What witnesses do we have? Did you happen to keep any evidence that you actually paid for the improvements on the property?
Right, right.
Those type things. And really now in year 2018, we're at a point where we can look back at the GIS maps, the aerial photographs, and we can see with pretty good resolution back into normally about the 90s, late 90s is where it went more digital and it's easier to see now. But we can look at those aerial photographs historically and get a perspective about how the property had been used over the years, at least from a perspective of is the ground worn, you know, those kind of things. When were the trees cut away?
Yeah.
When was the building built? When was the fence put up? That kind of stuff.
Now, does the person have to know that they don't, that it was not theirs?
No. You can actually adversely possess based on a mistake. So you can think that the property is yours, and if it's not in fact yours, and you have used it for this 20-year period of time, then that can ripen into adverse possession. Now, another thing that we look at, which is similar to adverse possession, because the elements are almost all the same, but it really goes more to access, is a prescriptive easement.
Yeah.
And this is normally on situations where you have, well, I've been using that drive for 20 years.
Right.
My family's been using that, you know, once a week or once every day or whatever it may be for a 20-year period of time.
And it wasn't common to somebody else. Is that part of it too, though? I mean, it has to be your exclusive use?
No, that's a great question because the only element that you don't have to have is the exclusive element. It doesn't have to be exclusive because when you get a prescriptive easement, when it's determined by the court, is almost never exclusive. It's a right to use the property and to come and go on the property, but it doesn't exclude the underlying owner from also using it as well.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and maybe some examples of how that happens around here. We'll come up in a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harv Allen Collins. Your questions are welcome. If you'd like to call in, Kenzie's waiting on your call.
That I am at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
More to come in a moment with Let's Talk Legal on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. Hey, welcome back here on the Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins Attorneys of Law. And Let's Talk Legal, talking about adverse possession. And about a couple of those things that happened.
Yeah, I think some examples of this. We, of course, can't violate client confidentialities with files that we have. But, Wes, let's try to think of a couple of concrete examples here of where these things evolve in the real 2018 world.
Well, I can think of one. Okay. And I know in the western part of the county there's some folks that live on a piece of property that has, talking about the access, and the otherwise it would be landlocked. You know, and so, but they have been using this alley, not an alleyway, but they're using this lane, I guess, to get to it.
Right.
That's pretty common.
Well, that's right. And then, you know, you get into this easement by necessity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another claim that you look at. Easement by necessity is, I mean, you can't be landlocked. You have to be able to get to a public road. So in the event that the property is purchased or divided out and to a point where we have a problem with access, then the court can establish an easement. But when you're talking about an easement by necessity, the underlying servient property, the buyer, the property owner that can't get to the road, they have to pay reasonable compensation for that across the person's property where the easement was allowed. And a prescriptive easement type situation, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference there. Mm-hmm. But all of these cases normally come to a point where there has to be some court intervention or court involvement when you have someone infringing upon some rights that people think that they've had for a long period of time.
Well, I know the folks and sometimes those are battles against a municipality, like in downtown Morehead City with alleyways.
Sure.
That's been one that's been over the years and been litigated in different cases.
Right. Just kind of spinning through in my head cases that we've dealt with over the years. Of course, you have lots of cases where the driveway has been blocked because the neighbor bought the property next door and finds out, well, this is my property. We're going to block this driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So then you end up in court over maybe adverse possession, prescriptive easement, these type things. Fences taken down because you've got to get your fence off of my property type situation.
Right.
The next door neighbor determines that your house is partially on their property. And, you know, a lot of these type situations end up where you're in more of a rural area and a meets and bounds description type situation as opposed to maybe a subdivision. Because in your subdivisions, I mean, what do you have? You have a plat map, and the plat map shows where every lot is. It's laid out very clearly, and then there's a survey for every lot and every house. So you normally don't have encroachment type situations.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have these meets and bounds descriptions that sometimes are very hard to discern, especially when you get back, you know, to ones that are handwritten, you know, in 1900 or whatever. A lot of times you end up with situations where there may be a conflict in the descriptions, and that may create an encroachment. And then you get into an issue about, you know, I've been possessing this or I've been using that and that type thing.
I know you mentioned about the digital enhancements of the GIS maps. I would imagine people get a look at that and they say, oh, what do I do? I mean, I've been using this property. Now I see it may not actually have been on my land, but I've been using it all this time.
That's right.
What happens next?
Right. Well, as far as the GIS map goes, that's like one of the first things that I ask for when I get involved in these cases because, I mean, you want to believe everything your client says, but you also want to confirm. And, you know, the pictures don't lie. So if the client comes in and says, you know, I'm concerned about this. I've been using it for this period of time. I understand my predecessor in interest used it for this period of time. Well, let's get the aerial photographs, and then we'll know what we have to deal with going forward. We'll know what the facts are. But next question is, what happens next? So if you have one of these situations where, you know, your road is being blocked or your fence was taken down, or you feel like your property rights are being infringed upon because someone says that this isn't your property anymore, you know, that kind of thing, or never was your property, then in most cases, you have to deal with that in court. Normally the things that we end up doing if, when we file an action with regard to this is we file an action for declaratory judgments to declare the rights of the property and a claim for adverse possession or prescriptive easement, depending on what the circumstances are. we're going to look at the title very closely too, to make sure we know exactly who owns what in the area. And in many cases, we'll ask for a preliminary injunction, which is, for example, if the road is blocked, we're going to ask the court to open that road up while this case is working its way through the courts. So you're asking for basically the title for on the property to be quieted. We're going to resolve all issues with regard to this property in this lawsuit. We're going to name everyone who has any potential interest in this so they can come forward and raise their claims. And if they don't, they're forever barred. So it's time to resolve this. But as far as the use goes, in the 20 years or however long it is, normally until there is some type of rub on the property, some type
That's
of,
right. yeah.
it just carries on. You just keep using it. You take photographs, you document, you show how you've been using it. You know, you keep your evidence, you, all of these type things. But then until there is an issue, then all of that evidence that you gathered about using the property, that then becomes very, very important. You know, important.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've had cases before where the issue arises on the property as far as a dispute about who has what and the use. We can only prove 18 years. That's it. If we had two more years, we'd have an AP claim, but only 18 years. And we can look back at the photographs. The fence have only has only been up there 18 years. You know, so the time really matters. You know, just those details as far as that goes.
Yeah. So. There was a case in Pamlico County. I'm not sure if it was Oriental or not, but it was a street end that wasn't maintained. And the person who did maintain it was the adjoining property owner.
Right.
An adverse possession claim at some point.
Right. When you're talking about adverse possession against a government entity.
That's tough.
It goes up higher to the numbers.
30, I think.
Yes, there one's
years.
21 and one is 30.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about 7 and 20, we're talking about adverse possession or prescriptive easement against another individual or a corporation or something like that. But if it's a government or railroad or something like that, it's different.
Yeah, yeah, very different. All right. Again, if you have questions, you can give us a call, 800-818-2255, or you can dial the local numbers.
You can, 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal. We're talking about adverse possession, prescriptive easements, and other land properties. I would imagine, you know, some communities, well, Beaufort's an example where you put in a road and all of a sudden you have riparian rights. You know, who owns what there along Front Street? I mean, that became an issue, I know, back in the 70s for a long time.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of cases on Front Street in Beaufort as far as who has rights across the road because you have that little strip of land. You know, offshore basically of the road, of Front Street there, and then that's your riparian right. So there's been a lot of cases that have worked through the courts on that. You know, another issue that we look at when dealing with adverse possession is permissive use. Permissive use under law can never ripen into an adverse use, and therefore a claim of title.
In other words, the owner gave you permission.
That's right. But once the use is adverse and is clearly open, hostile, adverse, continuous, those type things, then just because someone gives permission, there's case law in North Carolina indicates that that doesn't end it at that point in time. It's almost as though the person giving the permission then has to file an action to quiet title. So sometimes you get into a little bit of a gray zone with regard to whether the use was permissive or not. And also, what evidence do we have indicating that the person who has been adversely using the property or the people who have been adversely using the property were put on notice that you were giving them permission? Did you write them a letter? You know, do you have an email? Do you have some kind of documentation? Or are you just now saying that you told them and communicated this to them? Then, you know, it's really gray from a factual perspective as to whether the use was permissive or not.
Well, I guess you could say that a person might say, oh, yeah, well, I told them they could use it until I needed it.
Well, you that's know, right.
And then they want it back.
Well, that's right. And yeah. it's a good idea to put that
document.
In writing,
yeah.
to document that. So we have something, you know, clear from an evidentiary standpoint that we may need many, many years later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you begin to see here, Ben, is that this issue of adverse possession is kind of a lurking type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many times clients do not initially define their think about, if you will, or defined their issue relative to adverse possession.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of lurks out there. These accesses to the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who
right.
is maintaining the access? These areas near the water or about the water where people for years have launched their boat, or gone on Sunday afternoon picnics, have maintained the property because it was adjacent or near their property. And yet the title to that access is not clear. So now, of course, there are some cases about, you know, practical cases I'm talking about where clients with the values now being what they are and this access being so very important, these things have come into, you know, into real cases.
Mm-hmm.
But again, adverse possession is an interesting area of the law. It's an area that probably all of us need to know about, particularly in rural areas, or areas, again, closer to the water, Harker's Island, down East Beaufort, some of the Salter Path, of course. You know, Salter Path,
sure,
of course, is infamous for adverse possession issues. They're out there. We don't talk about it a lot, it seems, but these issues are out there lurking.
Yeah. And again, an unincorporated area in the county or something like that, I would imagine you'd have a lot of that kind of thing, especially where farms are concerned or long-standing land.
About it. And, you know, here in the last minute or so we have left, you know, we think about why does the law support someone basically stealing someone else's property?
Mm-hmm.
Why can you trespass on someone's property? And then if you do it long enough, it's yours.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why is because one of our very standard common law tenets of real property, highest and best use.
Mm-hmm.
The law supports highest and best use of real property. And the old common law basically shows us that if you sleep on your rights, you don't use the property at its highest and best use, you don't protect your property.
Mm-hmm.
You don't show it's yours. If you don't care about it, then
someone else
may slip in and take it. Now, okay, they have to use it for 20 years.
Right.
That's a long period of time of sleeping on your rights. But still, that's the basic common law tenet that we're talking about here that supports all of this precedent, state law, so on and so forth, for adverse possession and prescriptive easements.
Okay. All right. Again, if you want to find out more about that, you want to call on folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys of Law and get them working on your side, call on them and make an appointment at 726-9050. You can find them also at 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City and online at harvellandcollins.com.